Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi in the world, I'm John Batchelor. Wall Street Journal editorial: a Supreme Court triumph for trial by jury. Subhead: a 6-3 majority in SEC versus Jarksy strikes a blow for liberty against the administrative state by ruling that federal agencies can't deny defendants their day in federal court. I welcome my good colleague, Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And over these years, more than a decade now, Richard has educated me into the dangers of the administrative state with trial, judge, jury, and jailer all in the same room. Richard, I do not speak with confidence, but I believe SEC versus Jarksy is a victory for your presentation to me these many years, that the administrative state has overstayed its welcome and it needs to rethink its activities. In this particular instance, it's the SEC, but I believe this would apply to all aspects of the administrative state when they charge, they condemn, and they jail in one room. Good evening to you.
Yes, well, I think you're clearly right about the major premises, but it's extremely important to understand the way in which this is set up, not only here, but in other cases. So this also happens with the Patent and Trade Office, as well as with the SEC. And the basic scheme that was introduced when we dealt with this stuff back in 2011 under the Dodd-Frank Act was that we said we have commissions and they have five people, but the commissions are instantly politicized because three of them are from the party of the president, the two from the other party. And nothing is more common than to find 3-2 disputes in which the two in dissent essentially are fought from the party of the president. That happens, for example, with some of the stuff having to do with climate regulation and reporting that was put out by the SEC, same agency that we're talking about here. So what the commissions are allowed to do is to draft an indictment against the individuals whom they think engage in very bad conduct. And if you start looking at the way in which these texts are working about, is this engaged in an artifice or a trade intended to deceive other kinds of individuals, you know that notwithstanding the effort to get the right kind of language, there's always a lot of play in the joints as to how these things are done. So if the SEC wants to go after somebody and make a set of charges that sound ominous, but in fact are backed by very weak factual underpinnings, it turns out that they can do so. Well, then the question is, where do they go? If they had to go into a federal court, there'd be two kinds of protections that you would start to get. One, you'd get an independent judge. He may be of your own party, but he's independent in the sense that you can't pull him off of this particular thing. And you would also get the rather comprehensive protections for people who are given defendants in either civil fraud cases or in criminal cases about how much discovery they can conduct and how kinds of objections they could raise to the composition of the forum and so forth. And for the most part, these situations hold pretty well. And it's very hard to look at horror stories coming out of that system. So there's an alternative route that was introduced by Dodd-Frank, which is essentially they could appoint a particular judge to hear the particular case and then have the first level review be by the commission itself. Now, if you're trying to talk about picking judges, this is not a small deal. It's a big deal. And so when you go into federal court, the general rule is almost always that the district court judge within a given area is chosen by lot or by rotation. And so you don't get to pick your favorite person when you're doing this, which means, in effect, there's already one check against really weak claims. Somebody's going to be looking at you who doesn't like it. But if you're inside the administrative agencies, you can pick exactly the person you want to judge these cases. And since this is a case where you can appoint the same person over and over again, it's a very asymmetrical situation. People who like the lucrative appointments know that if they rule against the SEC and its commission, they're not going to be likely to be appointed the second time. And so what you do is you find cases in which the same people over and over again rule very strongly in favor of the government, whether or not they have exercise in the particular area. And then what happens is you go back to the commission, you're in your home court, and what they do is they say, we think this is absolutely great. You are now allowed to go to court. But what are you going to get in court? Almost never after a conviction do you get something which is a complete reversal, an exoneration, and an acquittal. You tend not to get that. What you do is you get a remand. So there's a case called Lucia, decided about almost seven years ago now, in which there was another set of very dubious charges against somebody. They go to court and they say, you know, this guy was not appointed by the senior person in his department, and so therefore the appointment was void. So what do they do? They don't dismiss the case. They send it back down and they say, hey, you know what you have to do is to get the right person inside the SEC, the head of the organization, to make the appointment, and then we can go ahead as if nothing had happened. And poor Mr. Lucia had to settle out on very disadvantageous terms because he was simply exhausted by having to go through this nightmare. And essentially what's happened is everybody, I think, who cares about this realizes that you cannot have, as you put it at the beginning, judge and jury and prosecutor embodied in the same person. So how do you break it up? In my own view, the most generalized argument, which was not put by the court, is a due process argument. And what that argument turns out to say is if you need to have an impartial judge on dealing with these cases and a notice to be heard in a proper forum, you cannot allow this kind of bias and suppressed evidence to take over. So the whole system is unconstitutional, whether you have a jury or don't have a jury.
And Richard, at this point, as an amateur observer, yeah. The Article 3 is not ambiguous about this. You deserve your day in court.
Yes, it's not. But this, everything else in the world is complicated. Due process would apply whether you're in a court or before these agencies. What you see is you see Article 3, and it says all judicial matters right belong in the court system. There was a case many years ago involving Murray against the city of Hoboken, in which it turns out there was a magic fraud in which a customs tax collector in the 19th century, a very big deal, stole massive amounts of money from the government and decamped to France. And when they tried to go after him to get him, they did it through an administrative proceeding. And somebody said, well, isn't he entitled to an Article 1, Article 3 court? What had happened was, and this is very common, is the court that tried him was an evolutionary process. And so back in around 1810 or 1812, you had a bunch of disputes concerning a set class of tariffs on a given kind of goods. And three or four guys would say, you know, we're not quite sure why we do it in Philadelphia relative to New York. Let's ask our boss man to determine. So what they do is they kick it upstairs to a superior administrator, and he issues the statement and said, hey, we think it should be done this way, and everybody else would follow. It starts off as an informal process, but after a while it becomes solidified and hardened. And then these guys actually operate like de facto judges. And they hear the case, and all of a sudden the people below want to hear the arguments on both sides. And this system had been in place for 40 years by the time this case came up. And so if you want to say, hey, this has got to be done by an Article III court, every single decision made by that customs court since 1812 is void. So what they do is they carve out a special cast of cases called public rights. It's nowhere in the Constitution. It's a concession to history. And what that means is if you're dealing with one of your own employees who's not discharging his duties under statute, you can sue him in an Article I court because we don't want to break this thing up. And indeed, it's such a pronounced trend in favor of Article I courts today that people consciously set them up because they don't want to have to deal with lifetime tenure for judges, which is by and large a mistake. And so what they said is you can do this. Well, then the question is, what's a public right? And the answer is it's a dispute between the government and one of its servants with respect to monies which owe it. But somebody else comes along, and this was true in the oil state case, a dreadful opinion by one of my favorite justices, is Clarence Thomas, in which he says a public right is any right that is declared by Congress. So every time you decide now in Congress to reform the law of patents, you could oust the federal courts and put it before an Article I tribunal or the patent court in appeal. That's crazy. And so what Justice Roberts did in this case is he basically cut back on those earlier decisions, which said that any legislative grant makes it a public right, which means you could oust the court. And what he said, in effect, it has to be something of the nature like those earlier cases or the immigration disputes, but not like the standard patent dispute, which was the case that was decided the other way in the oil states case back in 2018. And it's clear he was gunning for all of this. And so what did he say? He said, I'm looking at this, and this is a fraud case. Now, you're saying that these guys stole from the government. Those are the kinds of cases we always brought in courts of law. And so his basic position is, if you put this in a court, you could never deny a man a right to a jury trial under the Seventh Amendment. You'd have to give it. So now he says, the government says, we're putting this side of the administrative agency. We're stripping you of all these other protections like discovery and so forth. And now, by the way, you don't get a right to jury because you put it in our own home court. Well, think about this. Do you really want the right to a jury off trial to be dependent on whether or not Congress hands this over to an administrative agency or leaves it in the federal court so that they have the power to deny you that by shifting the form? It's absolutely a dangerous thing. And the Chief Justice essentially wrote an opinion and attacked Justice Sotomayor, whose opinion was quite learned and very thorough and just wrong as far as I'm concerned.
The Chief Justice writes this, even with respect to matters that arguably fall within the scope of the, quote, public rights doctrine, the presumption is in favor of Article III courts. That's not vague, Richard. Does that do it now? Or are we going to have to go through this again?
No. It doesn't do it entirely. You don't get a right to jury trial if the only thing you ask for is an injunction. All right, because that was not an action of common law; it was an action in a court of equity where juries were never there. So Jarchese number two comes along, and they drop the demand for money, but they still insist that he be banned from the profession for the rest of his life. Now, the jury trial argument's not going to work. And so you have to go to the due process argument. And that's where Justice Gorsuch came in. He said, I see all these things as interlocking. And the due process stuff means I don't care whether it's a court of equity or a court of law, whether it issues an injunction without a jury or only damages with a jury. They can't stack the deck. That's the due process component. And that was the position that I argued when Jarchese came up. I said, I didn't think there was anything wrong with what they did down in the Fifth Circuit, but I think what they did wrong in that particular case is not to realize that you need the broader remedy because you have to make sure that in those cases where by everybody's account there's no right to a jury trial, you don't allow this kind of an outrage to start to take
place. We have a minute, Richard. Does this mean that there will be more challenges?
I think, in effect, there's going to be a huge transformation. The oil states case, which gave the same kind of arbitrary power to the Patent and Appeals Court, I think that's going to be challenged. My guess is it may well be overruled. It was a singularly dreadful opinion. My friend Allison Ho, who wrote the opinion for oil states, she really wrote a masterful brief, and I think that she's going to be ultimately vindicated on what is going on. And I do think that the other arguments having to do with neutrality and fairness are going to come. And I would even go so far to say that you can't get a fair trial before a commission which has three people from one party and two from the other if they're always voting on party lines. So I would say that you cannot have a commission like the FTC and so forth, which brings and prosecutes these cases. You can have an Article I court, that is a federal court with a real judge who has a term limit and the standard procedures for protection. That's fine as far as I'm concerned, but I think the next order of attack should be anytime there is an independent commission organized on party lines, it cannot have an adjudicative function.
Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, commenting on the SEC versus Jarchese 6-3 majority decision, dividing, not too surprisingly, well, why not, along conservative and liberal boundaries. We turn to the debate between the two first-term presidents. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Cyber Week deals at BJ's Wholesale Club are so great, we called in the North Pole's top IT expert to tell you about them.
Al the IT Elf here. This time of year, I'm asking everyone two things. Have you tried rebooting? And have you seen BJ's Cyber Week savings? Through December 7th, get a $20 digital coupon when you spend $200. Plus, through December 4th, get up to 40% off TVs, tech, and appliances. And like remembering your password, remember that these deals are only on BJ's.com or the BJ's app.
Visit BJ's.com/Cyber Week for holiday savings.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.